I want to show you this number 400. And because our time is short, I got to make it count. I want you to find the 911th chapter of the Bible, which you might not remember. It's Haggai chapter 2. And what is 911? Our emergency number. The 911th chapter of the Bible is Haggai chapter 2. That's a loaded chapter. But forgive me for not going into all of it, just to show you a date that God gave Haggai. And he used the word consider three times. Verse 15 and verse 18, two times. And those words are consider from this day and upward. Consider now from this day and upward. Consider it. Now, if God says consider, what does that mean? Wait, ponder what I'm telling you. I'm repeating three times, three to confirm it. All right? And what was this day? I want you to see this in verse 18. Consider now from this day and upward from the 24th day of the ninth month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, is yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree has not brought forth? From this day will I bless you. And it continues on about the shaking of the heavens. Now, what did God mean when he said, and in verse 20, you read it again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the ninth month, pertaining to the overthrowing of kingdoms and God coming to the help of his people. Well, I used to read this, but I never knew what I'm going to tell you now. Their ninth month is not our ninth month. Their calendar is not based on our calendar. So their ninth month is December. And the 24th day of the ninth month in modern history was the 9th of December 1917. In their calendar, that was the 24th day of the ninth month. In our calendar, it was December the 9th, 1917. Well, what is so great about that? It was the feast day of Hanukkah. Now, I want you to make a note of this and go and search it out for yourselves. That feast is not given in the Old Testament, but it came in the period from Malachi to Matthew. And it is known as the Feast of Dedication. And John, in the 10th chapter of his gospel and the 22nd verse, mentions that Jesus was at Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication. The word dedication is Hanukkah, the festival of lights. It is believed that the lampstand light shone for 8 days without any human hand supplying the oil. It was a time when the temple was defiled by Antiochus Epiphanes, a man who tried to bring Greek philosophy into Israel, and he offered swine's blood on the altar. And there were some men headed by Judas Maccabeus who withstood him and defeated him, and they spent 8 days cleansing the temple and sanctifying the temple. And Jesus was in Jerusalem at that time when the Jews celebrated that feast. Well, what happened on December the 9th, 1917? The Turks had controlled Jerusalem from 1517 all the way to 1917. Please tell me, what's the amount of years from 1517 to 1917. Exactly how many years? Do you see the hand of God in history? So not only did Martin Luther discovered that Joshua shall live by faith in 1517. But there was an enemy that was trying to take over the land and bring in Islam and the ways of Islam. Just like today, they're trying to do it with more military weapons and fear and all the rest. And exactly 400 years on the feast day of Hanukkah, General Allenby defeated the Turks and they submitted without the city being destroyed by military weapons. And he prayed for God to direct him in that battle. And he was a praying Christian man. And when the Turks heard Allenby was coming, they called him in Arabic, Allah en Hebe, which means the Son of God. And they said, boy, if we're fighting against the Son of God, we don't have any chance. And Allenby felt led of God to send his scouting planes to spy out the position of the enemy. Now, I want to give you a scripture in Isaiah chapter 31, verses 4 and 5. Isaiah 31, verses 4 and 5. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like a lion and a young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. Now look at verse 5. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it. And passing over, he will preserve it. And Allenby sent the birds, the electronic birds, to spy out the position of the enemy. And when the Turks saw those birds, they were afraid. They never saw anything like that. And they willingly surrendered. Now, I'm sure this scripture has had more than one fulfillment, but it may not be the last time God will defend Jerusalem, but I'm just showing you how Allenby prayed for God to help him. And he didn't enter the city after the surrender on the 9th of December as the feast day of Hanukkah began. He waited till the 11th day of December 1917. And he didn't ride on a horseback to enter the city. He went on foot. Now get ready for something dynamic. World War I ended on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, exactly 11 months after Allenby entered in triumph into Jerusalem. Tell me if that is just coincidence or was God shouting a message to the whole human race. And never forget it, November the 11th, 1918 is a tremendous date to keep in mind. That was a time when the armistice was signed and World War I came to an end, and many men claim that will be the end of all wars, but we've had a Second World War and we got many more wars until the Prince of Peace returns to put an end to man's nuclear madness. For except those days shall be shortened, what? No flesh shall be saved. Well, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, exactly 11 months after Allenby entered victoriously into Jerusalem. Now, get ready for this. A Turkish coin was found that year in Jerusalem. And on the reverse side of the coin was the number 1335. In the Muslim calendar, it was the 1335th year since Muhammad fled to Mecca, known as the Hijra. That's the date that they calculate their calendar. And in this Turkish coin, it was the Muhammadan year 1335. Now get ready for something. Go to the 12th chapter of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. Verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to win. To the 1,335 days. And what year was the number 1335 found on a Turkish coin? 1917. And it was in that year, in November, that the Balfour Declaration was passed by Britain, making Jerusalem a homeland for the Jew. And so the Jews that were scattered were beginning now to return to their homeland. And God was saying, mark this day. From this day, the foundation for the new Israel would be laid. And by 1948, the way was open for them to become an independent nation. So I just want to show you that the 400 years meant that the Jew in captivity was now to be set free. Well, guess what? You and I have been in captivity to some degree, but we're groaning for freedom. Paul says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we who are in this body, we're groaning, not to be unclothed, but to be clothed upon with our house which is from above. What are we groaning for? Full redemption. And God is hearing the groanings of his people. And in the book of Romans, the creation is groaning. We who have the earnest of the Spirit, we're groaning. And the Spirit is groaning. Will God hear the groanings? Yes, sir, I'm convinced of that. Do you think your prayers for your loved ones are in vain? Do you think all you're going through, though it's not pleasant, it's all in vain? No. Our light affliction worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are what? Temporal. But the things that are not seen are eternal. You see, God is looking for a people of faith. Abraham believed God. And we still need to believe the just shall live by faith. And I sense in my spirit, I don't know exactly when the age will end, but I believe we are living in a little overlapping of time. Consider what I'm going to tell you before we close tonight. And that is, when a new king is going to be set into office, can he do so legally until the previous king dies? The previous king must die before the succeeding king will take the office of a king. But it was not so when David was living. David was still living while Solomon was anointed king. How about that? David represents the age of grace, and Solomon represents the millennium. And where are we time-wise? I believe the age of grace is getting old like David. But God is getting Solomon ready before David leaves. So there is an overlapping of this age and the next age. That's how close to the end we are. But we may not be able to predict that to the hour and to the day. But from 1918 to now, it was 11 o'clock on God's clock. So can you tell me what time it is now? Not on our time. Oh, it's almost midnight. That's where we are. But God's time zone is not the same as ours. And he doesn't expect us to put a date, but just to be ready. To be ready at all times. Be instant in season and out of season. And I sense this urgency to share this with you, that we are about to see God coming to the aid of his people as he came to Israel's help after 400 years in Egypt, as he came to the help of Israel after 400 years of captivity to the Turks. And he used a young lion, the British people, to help Israel. And he's used America to help them as well. But they need to call on the Messiah and call on the Lord for themselves. Let's pray God will open their eyes. And we who are strangers in this land, though we are part of this land, we are crying out for God to fully release us from every bondage. And how does the book of Job end? The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And he gave him twice as much. God is about to turn our captivity. You know, when the hostages were in Iran, when Mr. Carter was in power, he did not leave office victoriously. But when the 40th president came into power, the Iranians knew they had to do something. And guess what happened? For 444, notice that, they were in captivity in Iran for how many days? 400 plus 40 plus 4 days. And once they were released under the 40th president, even that is telling us something. And they were brought to the White House. President Reagan read from the Bible. What? Psalm 126. And I'm trying to refresh your memory because you'll have to go back in time. And what did he read? It is so appropriate for us today when we see the spiritual meaning of what I'm trying to convey to you. Go to Psalm 126. I'm not going to read the entire psalm. Just to give you the way the psalm begins, and only the Lord could have directed him what to read as we were celebrating the safe return of our men and women in captivity. Look how it begins. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them, the dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. There is a joy that awaits us. Weeping may endure for a night. Help me with the rest. But joy cometh in the morning. We've been going through our travail. But as Isaiah says, sing, O barren, sing. Thou that didst not bear. And some words added to that, thou shalt have a song for all men everywhere. The river of God within is flowing out to save. Sing, O barren, sing, for this is God's new day. God wants you to sing in the midst of sadness. Paul and Silas sang after they received the stripes. What did God do? He sent an earthquake. God is about to avenge his own elect who cry unto him. How often? Day and night, though he bear long with them. There is a payday coming. There's a day when God will restore. From the time the commandment was given to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, God gave them a period of time for that restoration to take place. But they failed to receive the blessing through unbelief. That's why Paul warns us, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. We are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Well, I've kept you too late, and I apologize for that, but there is no end to the Lord and his operations. Amen. And I want you to know, I can't end yet. Can you hold on a few more minutes? When the football game goes over time, nobody's worried. Why should we worry? Right. And in case you lose some sleep, may God replenish you. with fresh energy. Ezekiel 9, last reference. Well, I got one more reference. How many men were in distress and in debt and discontented? That's a DDD. There were some men who joined David in the cave Adullam, and they were in debt, and they were distressed, and they were discontented. How many men you think joined David when he was rejected? 400. Another place it says 600. That's true. But originally, if you want a reference, it's in 1 Samuel 22 and verse 2. There were 400 men. How many of you are in distress today? And you're discontented as you see things around you. But you see you owe a debt. He paid a debt. He did not owe, and we owed a debt we could not pay. So what is the debt we owed God? It's a debt of love. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you loving him in return for so great salvation? And are you contented where you are, or are you reaching out for more of God? And are you crying out for God to come to your rescue and the rescue of your loved ones? Those are the three D's. Distress and debt and discontented. But 400 joined David. And David made them a disciplined army. And more were added to them. It's a wonderful number. 400. Hallelujah. But I got one more for you. I've kept the best for the last. And you will not know it like myself. I didn't know there was something like 400 in a symbolic way. In Ezekiel 9, there were people who were crying out against the wickedness in Jerusalem. Just like we are crying out against the wickedness in America. Remember Jerusalem? J-E-R. What comes after that? U-S-A. What else? L-E-M. Never forget that. Even if you don't agree with me, I still love you. And just as they were crying out against the wickedness, we are crying out against all the wickedness. I tell you, there's such wickedness, I'm ashamed to see it and hear it. And God says, six men are going to go into the city with slaughtering weapons. But before they bring judgment, I'm sending a man with an inkhorn to put a mark on the foreheads of them that sigh and cry against your wickedness. My friends, you've been doing that. I'm convinced of it. And I've been doing it. And once these people were sealed, God says to the six men, go through the city and slay young and old and begin at my house. And as they carried out judgment, Ezekiel was left. I alone was left. That meant Ezekiel was spared from the judgment. He was sealed. And Ezekiel means the strength of God. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, said the Lord. But here is the best I've kept for the last. Put a mark. The word for mark or seal is the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Psalm 119 is given there at the very end. Tav or tau. And the ancient form of the tav or tau was in the shape of a cross. Oh, hallelujah. All the letters in the Hebrew alphabet lead to the last one, which links with the cross. The cross is central in the heart and plan of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, allow me to speak a little freely. Forget about time. When they were crossing the Jordan, who led the way for them? The Ark of the Covenant carried by the priests. And when they crossed the Jordan, they crossed from the east to the west. Draw a straight line. But when the Lord cut off the waters of the Jordan all the way back to the city Adam, there's not a city named Adam, as far as we know, but it's given in the book of Joshua. Why was the waters cut off all the way back to the city, Adam, read it for yourselves. In Adam all die, and Jordan links with death. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ what? All shall be made alive, but each man in his own order. So death came from the first man, and Jesus came to undo the failure of the first man. And so draw a line from the city Adam all the way to the Dead Sea, and that's from the north to the south, and you have a straight line from the east to the west, and the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan. And on crucifixion day, where was Jesus? In the midst of two thieves. Now tell me, if God is not precise in the way he does things, which we read, but of course our eyes are not open to see those things. Hallelujah. And what happened to the waters of the Jordan? They were dried up. Jordan represents death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? So they crossed the Jordan in the shape of a cross and put a mark. And the mark is in the shape of a cross, and the finished work of Christ on the cross is important for us. Now, the people could not cross the Jordan, although it was dried up. They had to wait until Joshua commanded them. And how far did they stay away from the ark? You will read 2,000 cubits. It is called a Sabbath day's journey in the book of Acts, chapter 1. From Mount Olivet to the upper room was a Sabbath day's journey, which was 2,000 cubits, which was 3/4 of a mile. Even that is speaking volumes. But taking a cubit to represent a year, and see the ark as Jesus conquering death. We've been following Jesus in this age, but we are about to catch up with the ark. Oh, glory. 2,000 years later, there must be a people who will cross the Jordan on dry ground. Oh, hallelujah. That's what we're groaning for this mortal to put on immortality, and for this corruption to put on incorruption. But now, the letter Tav has the numerical value 400. Can you pay for that? Come on. The letter Tav has the numerical value 400. And how long were they to be in bondage? Until how many years had elapsed? 400. And from Jamestown to now is how long? 400. And from 1517 to now is how long? 400. So is God trying to shout a message at us? Sure. That's why he gives us proof upon proof. 1517, the Turks took control of Jerusalem. 1917, they had to leave. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my friend, the last enemy to be destroyed is what? Death. And we haven't conquered death yet. But Jesus did. He abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2,000 years later, there must be a people who will enjoy the blessings of the finished work of Christ. We candidates. We haven't arrived yet, but we candidates to do what? What did the people have to do as they stood away from the ark? They had to keep their eyes on the ark, not on the priests. And by the way, when the priests carried the ark, the priests were not seen, only the ark was seen. They lifted the ark where? Above their shoulders. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will do what? Draw all men. That's why what they were doing is what Hebrews tells us. Looking unto Jesus, the what? Author and the finisher of our faith. He is the first. Oh, glory. I can't end yet. The ark was the first to enter, rather, the Jordan, right? And then the ark was lifted up by the priests as the rest crossed over. Then the ark left last. And who said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. What else? And you see it right there. He was the first in the Jordan to dry it up, and he's the last to leave until his people have passed over. Hallelujah. There's a passing over coming. Oh, glory. An end time Passover. And a storm is about to hit this country and the nations of the world and Jerusalem. Because the day of grace is coming to an end. Mark 4. And Jesus is going to give a command. Let us pass over to the other side. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we ready for this Passover? They came out with great substance. So, let's get focused on the Lord. He is the author and the finisher, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Another translation puts it that way. The one who began a good work in us, and what else he wants to do? Finish it. Praise God. God bless you. May we go through the 400. May the work of the cross be accomplished in us. As we say with Paul, let no man trouble me. I bear in my body what? The marks of the Lord Jesus. Yes, he had some physical marks. We may not all have that. But what are the marks he's looking for? Submission, obedience, willingness to become nothing, that he can become everything. Hallelujah. We're under a better covenant with better promises.